I got up this morning and, well, I sort of went to bed last night, and actually I felt God saying, be prepared to do something different today. So I thought, okay. I thought I did something different last week, because last week I wanted to finish off the whole thing of inheritance, and I got to the second slide and didn't really get any further, because God wanted to speak to us in a particular way. And I feel God wants to do something with us again, experientially today, so that we can engage with him. Over the last few weeks in the Joshua Generation groups, we've been looking to engage with God's presence and looking to engage him in an experiential way of his, the river of his presence. And in looking at our inheritance and what belongs to us, you know, Jesus did die, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again and he's alive today. He's alive in heaven. He's alive in those who believe in him. He manifests his presence here with us. He died so that we could have something more and get back everything that was lost by Adam. So that means a relationship with him, an intimate relationship with him, both here in our own lives, here in our corporate gathering, but also where he is now in the heavenly realms. And so we have eternal spiritual life. That means God has given us a relationship with which he's dealt with our sin, forgiven us, cleansed us, made us righteous, and brought us back into a family, adopted us. So now we have something called sonship. But if we don't know what sonship's about, then it's difficult to know what it is to be a son and know what it is to have a father. And everyone who's born starts off as a baby, obviously. Well, it's no different when we're born again. We start off as spiritual babies. And in spiritual immaturity, we learn on the milk of the Word of God and the milk of his presence feeding us, if you like, to grow in our relationship with him. And then we become more mature. And in that maturity, he entrusts us with more of his presence, more of his spirit, more revelation, more knowledge, because everything becomes progressive. We get revelation of being born again at the start, but actually that is ongoing. It doesn't stop. We have revelation of our baptism in water when we get baptized. But actually, it doesn't just stop with an event. It's an ongoing process. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have revelation of what it means for the Holy Spirit to empower us to be witnesses and to do the works of Jesus. But actually, our initial experience is not where it ends. It's just where it begins. Everything with God has a beginning, and that beginning increases. Because there's no end to the increase of his government. It just doesn't stay the same. Our relationship with him, we are always called into something deeper. And God wants to reveal that to us so that we can outwork who we are as his children and fulfill his calling on our lives, our destiny and everything else. And last week we looked and we saw that that's a very intimate personal experience. God wants us to know him face to face. Not just know about him, but actually know him. That takes relationship. You don't know someone without spending time with them. So we need to know God's love, joy, and peace. We need to know God's faithfulness. We need to be connected to the source of life. His life is the life. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life. So we need to be connected to that way. He's the only way. It's what Jesus said. He's the only way that we can come to the Father. So we need to be connected to that source. But that source of life is also connected to us. Because God has chosen to use human beings to represent him in this created sphere of life. And we're connected to that life. And that life is connected to us. So we're connected to heaven. You might think, well, how can we be connected to heaven? Because that's where the source of life starts. That's where it originally started. It started in God. God created the spiritual realm. Then he created the natural realm. So everything's connected to that place. And therefore, heaven is also connected to the earth through us. God wants to connect heaven to earth through our lives. And we'll look a bit more about that. Now, Bethel is a place in the Bible where Jacob went. And before him, Abraham went and built an altar there. And it means the house of God. Genesis 28:17. This is how Jacob described that place, the house of God. How awesome is this place? Now, you can think of this in different ways. You can think of it as, you know, that sometimes the church is described as the house of God. And sometimes we experience his presence and it feels like, oh, that was an awesome time in his presence. So we could see that, how awesome is this place? Well, actually, it could be a physical place. It was. Bethel was a physical place. But it didn't stop there. Because our lives are described in the Bible as the house of God. So our lives are also an awesome place where God is. And it goes on to say, this is the gate of heaven. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So you could say that when we gather corporately, we become a gate of heaven because we welcome his presence and he comes and opens heaven and comes here. But also our individual lives could be seen as a gate of heaven, because if we're connected to the source of life, then that source is supposed to flow from us and manifest around us. So we're supposed to be the connecting point for heaven on earth so that people can see what God is like and experience God through our lives and experience what heaven is like through our lives and be connected to it. So we are the house of God and the gate of heaven. John 14:2. My paraphrase, it says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare you to be a dwelling place. So Jesus went to the cross, came back in resurrection power to prepare our lives to be a dwelling place of God. That's what God wants us to know, that we as a church are a dwelling place of God, a holy temple, it says in Ephesians, being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, but also our individual lives, we are dwelling places where God chooses to come and live. John 14:20 describes that dwelling place experience. In that day, that's the day of resurrection, when Jesus came back and met them again after he'd been to his Father, and he came back and manifested in the upper room and they saw him. He walked through the walls in a spiritual place and saw him. And basically he said, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father. So he was dwelling in his Father, in relationship with his Father, but in a position of where his Father was in the realms of heaven and what that means in terms of authority. And then it says, and you in me. So we are in Christ. Well, how could that be? It's a mystery. But in reality, it says we are in him. Now, in him, what does it mean? And I think we need to explore and experience what it means to be in him more and more. And then it says this, and I'm in you. So, if he's in the Father and we're in him, where are we? In the Father also. And he's in the Father and he's in us, then the Father's in us also. It's a relationship, which is a mystery, but we can experience it. And God wants us to experience it more and more. And then Jesus describes that in John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So here it is, he, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they come to make their home in us. Now Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Now, when God's made his home in us, it's like a little bit of heaven is on the inside of us. But we have to invite him to fill the rest of us, because he's given us the choice daily to experience his presence, to allow him to fill us and to overflow through us, but we have to open that door. So it's like within our spirit, there is a door that connects to God and connects to heaven. That is where the source of life is. Now, when we open that door and choose to open it on a daily presence in a daily relationship, he comes in. What does he do when he comes in? Eats. Now, we all like eating. Eating in the Bible was a very intimate place of fellowship where they shared their life. See, bread for us is something we butter or we toast or we're making a bread pudding and that sort of stuff. It's just bread. But to them, it meant something so much more. That's why Jesus described himself as the bread of life. He was the bread of life. He was the source of life. Because without bread, they didn't live. Bread was their staple source of sustainment. Jesus, God, is our source of real life, spiritual life, which also flows into our physical life. So he wants to dine with us, to fellowship with us. He wants to feed us. He wants us to feed on him in relationship. But it's up to us to open the door. He's always knocking. He's always saying, let me in. Give me more space. Give me more room. I want to manifest through you and around you. But if he's locked up in this little home that's in us, then that's a sad thing. Because he doesn't want to be locked up, imprisoned in us. He wants to be free to fill us and to flow from us and to manifest around us so that people see him through us and experience him as they are with us in our lives. Now, this was God's intention from the beginning, Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He breathed into him the spirit, and man became a living being. That was God's intention, always. Can you imagine when Adam woke up the very first time, what would he have seen? The face of God, I guess, if God had breathed into him. He would have experienced God's intimacy as soon as he was alive. Because that life, that source of life, came from God. He became a living being. Now, Adam lost that through sin. Jesus restored it. And in John 20:22, it says, after that day when he comes back and meets them after resurrection, he said this, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So we as Christians can receive that breath of life back into us again, that source of life, experiencing that life. John 4:10 talks about it's a story about the woman at the well of Sychar in Samaria, the well that Jacob dug, and Jesus is there and she comes and they're dialoguing around water. Because there's a well. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God. Now, what was the first gift of God? The breath of life. He breathed into Adam life. That was the gift of God. Now, Jesus was describing himself. Now, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, in other words, me, the gift of God, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Living water. Where does that living water come from? From heaven, from the river of life, which is flowing in heaven. That river used to be in the Garden of Eden. It used to be there flowing from heaven into the garden, from Eden into that garden. So that, and then it became a river that split into four rivers that went out and watered the earth. And that now lives in us. So if we drink from the gift of God, then we can have living water. And then Jesus goes on in verse 13. Jesus answered her and said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. So if you're trying to get your life from the world and from the natural things of the world, whatever they might be, you will thirst again. Guaranteed. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him, that living water, shall never thirst. Think of that. Never thirsting again. For what? For real life. You will never have to thirst for real spiritual life again when you drink from the river of life that is the gift of God, living water. What happens when we first engage that and our spirit comes alive and God comes to dwell in there and the source of life is in us, what happens? This is what happens, it goes on. I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Another version says it's a fountain of life. So in us is a fountain, a source of life. The source of life. And God wants us to experience that source of life and draw from that source of life. It's like you can have a well in your back garden, but if you never draw any water out of it, you'll never drink. You can have a well in you, but if you never draw from it and never drink from it, it won't actually make much difference to you. So we have to drink. We have to go to that spring, that fountain that is eternal life, and draw from it daily in relationship. Because when we open that door that he's knocking on, it's like that river just pours out into our spirit. Now, it's not supposed to be kept within our spirit. It's supposed to actually flow through our soul and out through our life so that that river flows all around us. But we have to draw. We have to open the door. We have to get in the river. We have to drink the water. Now, I want you to imagine what it's like, because it's easy to imagine that Jesus was going to give her a cup, you know, because he said, if you drink this water, and it's like, here's a well or a bucket or whatever it might have been. But actually, he's talking here. This is a spring that we can get in. We can actually get in this river. This river is in us, but we can be in it, spiritually experiencing what it is to be immersed in that river. See, in Ezekiel 47, it talks about a river which comes out from the temple, and it's sort of ankle deep. Now, ankle deep water can refresh your feet. You can wash your feet in it. You can reach down and you can get a drink out of it. You know, wherever we go on holiday, Deb always likes to paddle in the river, or the sea, or whatever is water, she always has to paddle. No matter how cold it is, I've got pictures of every place we've ever been. If there's any water, she's got a paddle in it. Now, it's great because it refreshes your feet. But we need to get in the river, because that river in Ezekiel 47 didn't stay ankle deep. It rose up and became waist deep. Now, in waist deep water, you can swim around and you can splash around and you can float around. But then it got deeper and deeper and deeper until out of our depth. Now, in this river of life, we don't have to worry about it being a river that is going to kill us or drown us or wash away, because this is spiritual life. The more we immerse ourselves in it, the more we baptize ourselves in it, the more we get filled with it. Because we can drink this water, we can breathe this water, we can be under this water and live. Now, wherever that water went, it says in Ezekiel 47, it brought life. It brought fresh to salty water, and it was teeming with life. Now, God wants us to be teeming with life, and he wants us to be bringing that water so that others can be filled and we teem in with that life. So the question is, do we know the gift of God? Do we know Jesus? Do we actually really know him in a personal relationship? Because if we don't know the gift of God, then we can't drink living water. If we know him, are we connected to the flow? See, that water is always flowing. It's not stagnant. It's not a pool that just stagnates. It is a flowing river, and it needs to flow through us. Are we connected to the flow? Do we drink from that internal well? Do we draw eternal life? Are we drawing from the source of life and experiencing it? Do we experience a constant flow? Because it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of that flow of life that comes from God, the breath of God. So there are lots of different pictures and metaphors and analogies you can use, rivers and wind and all those things. But what it boils down to the life of God that he wants us to live from and experience. How deeply have we drunk of this river? Have you had a few mouthfuls, put your hand in, had a few cups, or have you immersed yourself and drunk so deeply that you're filled with it? Because Jesus went on in John 37 to talk about another experience. Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Now again, he was talking about him. He's talking about God's life. "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." So this living water that was a well or a spring or a fountain within, actually, Jesus said, can become a river flowing out from our innermost being. And that is God's desire for us, that we will be so filled and so drinking of that source of life that it will become a river that will flow, a river of living water flowing out from us. Psalm 46 talks about this river. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High." So literally, there is a river that flows that actually makes us glad. Now that word glad means joyful and overflowing with life. God is in the midst of that dwelling place, which we've already been talking about. She will not be moved, and God will help her when the morning dawns. So our life can be a dwelling place where that stream of water, of living water, can make us full of joy, full of peace, full of love, full of grace, full of mercy. Psalm 1 describes it in a different way. "But his delight," in verse 2, "is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." In other words, relationship with the living word of God for us. "He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever it does, he prospers." That's a description of what our life should be like when we are connected to that source of life, that river, and we are drawing from it on a daily basis, when we are drinking that living water, when that living water is flowing in us and through us. That our life yields fruit and it prospers. It succeeds to accomplish every purpose that God has for us, our destiny, the things he's called us to do. It all comes from being connected, planted, putting our roots down, if you like, into that stream, that living water, and drawing that living water and living from it as our source of life. Because we can try all sorts of sources, and we have. Most of us have tried drawing from this world, through relationships, through money, through power, through position, through favor with other people, through all sorts of stuff. And it does not produce real life. It always makes us feel we need more. Those of you who have drawn from the sources of chemicals and things in the world, know that you're never satisfied with what you've got. You always need more. Because it's a false source of life. It's a false source of hope. But actually, Jesus is the true source of life. The Holy Spirit is the true source of hope in us. And we need to be planted to draw from it. Now that scripture reminds me of Revelation 22:1. "He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Very similar to Psalm 1. Because the imagery is the same. From heaven, from the throne of God, from the throne of grace in heaven, is flowing the river of life, the water of life. It's flowing. The tree of life, which was offered to Adam in the garden and is now in this place in the heavenly realms, is available to everyone to go and to experience. Now, in the Joshua Generation groups, we've been going to that river in the heavenly realms. We've been going to the tree of life in the heavenly realms, eating the fruit, because it's actually a real place. It's a spiritual place. Your spirit can go there. And you can literally draw from that river. You can be in that river. You can actually go to the tree of life. You can go beyond the tree of life to where the throne of God is, the throne of grace, because that is where the source of life comes from, the throne of grace in heaven. Now, years ago, we would only have seen that we could experience that here. Sometimes in our meetings, we used to talk about the river of God flowing, and there are songs we used to sing about the river of God. You know, I think one of the Bethel songs recently is, and we don't like it too much, some of us, because it's a bit countrified, but it's about jumping in and out of the river, and it's a bit of this and a bit of that. But actually, it's all talking about experience. You can experience God's river, and you can experience that river here sometimes when we meet. You can experience the river on the inside, because it's on the inside, it's a source. But also, you can experience the river in the realms of heaven, where it literally is. And we can go there, and a number of us have been experiencing that recently. We've been going there and experiencing the fruit, eating it and experiencing what it is to draw from that source. Hebrews 4:16. Now, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Now, years ago, we would have thought all that meant was we're going to pray and God will hear our prayers and he'll answer us, because he'll give us what we need when we need it. No, that's okay. But there's more revelation than that. Now we can actually go draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Where is the throne of grace? In heaven. And that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we can be actually connected to that throne and receive from that life and that river that's flowing from the throne, we can receive that in an experiential, real way. So God is taking us on a journey from what we did experience and what we've been experiencing into a deeper, progressive experience of his presence and his life. Now I want to encourage you today, when we worship and when we come into the presence of God, engage in the river of life. Engage in that river. Be connected through your own spirit. See it flowing in you. Engage on the inside. Experience what that river feels like, flowing with heavenly life. But there are also five rivers. God showed me this a while ago as a vision, that there are always five rivers cascading like waterfalls out of heaven here. Because he promised. Now, I didn't know where they came from or how they worked, but I saw the rivers, I saw the waterfalls, I saw those experiences. They all represented something of a deeper experience of God. And those rivers are here today, flowing out from the everlasting doors in the realms of heaven, so that we can experience something more of the depth of God's presence. It's a picture of a waterfall there, just cascading down. You know, it says in Psalms, deep calls to deep from the sound of my waterfall. And it's like that waterfall cascading with the presence of God is here today. And you can get under that waterfall. Again, on Wednesday, Monday, I think we engaged this and we went into heaven and we actually stood under that waterfall and we felt what it was like to be under that flow of God's life and power. And it was an awesome experience, and we all had different things that we felt God say out of it. But that river and those rivers are available today. What are they? The river of life, which is an experience of our new birth. But how many people want more from their life in God? Do you want to stay as you were when you first got born again, or do you want more? Well, I want more. So that river is a progressive experience of what it means to be born again. So it goes on and on, giving us more revelation. The river of death. Now, who wants to get in the river of death? Well, anyone who's been baptized has been in it, because you entered into Christ's death and you came out with his life. That experience of water baptism is not just a one-off. Oh, well, I did that years ago or a few months ago or whatever. It's actually an ongoing experience of what it means to live in resurrection life and be set free from the death of our old life. The river of the Spirit. We may have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some of us may have been years and years and years ago. Some of you may have been recently. But there's more. It's not just a one-off experience. It is an ongoing depth of relationship that God wants. There's the river of fire, throwing out flowing out from the throne of God. It's a consuming fire to purify and refine. See, Jesus said we'd be baptized in the Spirit and fire. Now, most of us didn't really experience that baptism of fire when we got baptism in the Spirit. So there's another place where we can experience the fire of God's presence, that consuming fire, to refine us. There's also a river of glory, a river of God's presence, where we can experience heaven and engage with God in that way. Now, I encourage you to be immersed and to be saturated and to be filled and to experience those rivers. Don't be satisfied with a small amount of life. God wants to give you eternal life. The quality of that life, it means it's going to bubble up and flow so that we can experience all these things of these rivers at a greater level and a greater depth, so that we experience more than we've ever experienced before. But we have to get in those rivers. If you don't get in the river, then you're not going to experience what it likes to be immersed. So those rivers are flowing out of heaven. They're flowing in heaven and they flow out of heaven. Those rivers can be flowing within our spirit because we're connected to that source in heaven. Those rivers can be flowing in this room today and we can jump in them and experience them. Now, you think, well, I can't see all those rivers. Well, just do it by faith. How did we get saved in the first place? By faith. We basically chose to believe what the Word of God said, and God took our faith and imparted His grace into us, and we got born again. We didn't do anything for it to earn it other than say, I want to receive it by faith. So today you can experience these things by faith. Just say, right, I'm going to by faith step into the river of life because I want to experience something deeper of the presence of God. I'm going to open that door in my own life and allow the river of life to flow in me so I feel the flow of His life in me in a different way than we've ever done before. So be immersed in them, saturated and filled. Experience God's presence at a new level because God wants us to enjoy Him and His presence and to know there's so much more than we've ever experienced before in our relationship with God. So the river of life is here. Jump in. Be forgiven. Be cleansed. If you've never met Jesus before, if you've never been born again, jump into that river of life figuratively this morning. Just give your life to Him and say, yeah, I'm opening up that door for the first time. Come and fill me. I want to drink of the river of life today, of the water of life of Jesus. You can engage with Him today. Drink that water and until it becomes a well, a spring bubbling up in us. Become a dwelling place for the God, for the Father, and for Jesus in our lives. If that river of death is here, if you've had a baptism experience but you want more, plunge into that river inside and out. Be washed, be cleansed from your past. Have the power of sin broken over your life. Exchange all the old for the new. Exchange the struggles, the sickness, the guilt, the shame, our old identity for a new one. Stop trying to meet your own needs and allow God to meet your needs. Walk in resurrection power. All those things are experiences that are ongoing things for our baptism. Whoever is thirsty, come to Jesus and drink. He's here today. You can drink. So if you want to be filled with His Spirit, filled with the joy that comes from Him, receive that today. Get in that river of baptism in the Spirit. If you want spiritual gifts, drink that in and receive. If you want to speak in tongues and see a flow of that river flowing out of you, just drink of that river today. Open up your heart. Just receive everything He's got for you and experience the power of baptism of the Holy Spirit, but at a totally new level. Be empowered and then give it away to others because it's supposed to flow from us, not stay in us. If you need to be transformed, you need the power of God and the fire of God's presence, then jump into the river of fire. Allow God's fire to transform you. Allow God's fire to refine you. Allow God's fire to purify you. Allow God's fire to destroy the chains that are restricting and holding you back, because His fire can burn through those chains. Open your heart and receive everything He's got and experience the power of baptism in fire. So I want to encourage you, just engage. Those rivers are cascading out of heaven today like waterfalls. They're here. Go deeper. Experience God at a new level. Don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied with what you've got. God is bigger. He's infinite. How can we be satisfied with this little bit when he wants us to have more and more and more, and he wants us to engage in more and more and more? If you've never engaged with God within your own spirit, open up your heart and look in today. He's there. If you've never engaged with God in a meeting like this, jump into those rivers. If you've never been into the realms of heaven, then be open to go where those rivers come from and experience him at a different level. Maybe you're frightened. Well, stand in the shallows and just feel what it's like. Dip your toe in there. It is good. Drinking and experiencing that living water is good. It is good for our soul. It says in the Bible, taste and see that God is good. This river is refreshing. So let's get in. Maybe you've stepped in a little bit. Look deeper. Look into it. Jump into it. Go under it. Breathe it in. Drink it in. Feel the life and the energy and the flow that's in us and through us. Be open for more. It's my encouragement today is just be open for more of God's presence. He wants to reveal himself to each of us in a deeper and more experiential way. As we worship, as we open up our hearts, those rivers are flowing. They're just flowing down like waterfalls and cascading here. If you need to get in one, just get in and experience something more today. Amen? I just want to encourage you to step into the presence of God. Jesus has removed the veils so we can step into the realm of the Spirit. So we were talking about earlier, the river of life is here flowing out of the heavenly realm into the spiritual realm here. And I want to encourage you to step into that river, the source of our life, the living water that we can drink deeply of, that we can immerse ourselves in, that we can be baptized into that place of his peace. And whether you can see that in the realm of the Spirit as that veil is pulled back, or whether you just need to engage by faith, I encourage you, just take a step forward, whether you're standing, sitting in as a sign in your heart, just take a step forward into that river. Take a step forward into the river of his life and his presence. Feel the refreshing of joy and peace and love. Step deeper into that river until you're immersed, and drink in that river of life and feel his presence coursing through your body, the Spirit flowing through you, bringing you into that place of joy and peace and abundant, overflowing life. He is the source. That river of life is here. The veil is removed so we can walk into that realm of the Spirit that's around us and engage in that realm of his presence. Just immerse yourself. And for those of you who have been able to follow that source, the veil between the realm of the Spirit here and the realm of the Spirit in heaven is open, and you can follow that river into the source of the throne of God, the river of grace flowing from the throne of grace with the tree of life and the fruit that always is in season and the leaves on that tree which will not wither. I encourage you, step into that place, into the river of life, and follow its source right back to the throne, because there you find mercy, there you find grace, there you find in that crystal river all that you need, all that you need. He is your source of life. Draw from that source. Drink deeply from that source. Experience it. Just stand under his presence. Just engage him at a deeper level than you've engaged before. Let deep call out to deep at the sound of his waterfall. Let your spirit call out for more intimacy, more of his presence, more of his life, the living water of life. Call out for more, be drawn to more, come boldly and confidently to his throne for more. Pursue him. Go deeper into him. Pursue him to where he is and experience his presence. Just want to encourage you, just stay there. Follow that river and engage with God deeper than you've ever engaged before. Because he longs for your presence. He's encouraged you to draw near to him, to come closer to his throne of grace, where the river of life flows and the tree of life is the pathway. That river would be bubbling up within us right now. That the joy in our hearts would bubble up. That the peace of God would just overwhelm us. That the love of God would draw us into ever-increasing intimacy.
Ah.